counsel of the Lord. Amen. We're glad to see everybody out. I trust that those that were not able to be here, I trust they either stream the service live or get and watch it later. Amen. We don't actually preach any unimportant ones. And so, amen, they're all important to us. It's all about getting us ready to get out of here, isn't that right? That if we're not coming here for the Lord to take His word and get us ready to get out of here, then why are we coming? So we need to be coming here. Whatever, it doesn't matter what stage you're at. Okay, you're moving toward getting ready to get out of here. You know, and all the elect of God's got to be ready to go. Doesn't matter what stage you say. Well, this person, the youth, my goodness, they must be for long. It doesn't matter. Nobody gets out of here till everybody's ready and on board. Amen. When I was a little boy, my aunt and my cousin, we used to play down in West Virginia, and my aunt would take this ladder from my grandfather. It had this big long ladder. It was made of wood, but it was like they didn't have extension ladders. They just had really long, tall wooden ladders. And so this ladder, she would lay it out in the yard, and she'd pretend she was driving a train or a bus or something, my aunt would, and she's about 7 years older than me, and she would say, "All aboard!" And that meant we were supposed to get on there. But that's the thing. That's the call that's going out right now. All aboard! We need to all get on board. Amen. There's a gospel ship coming through, and we need to be on board. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Phil is gone out of town. He's on vacation, so keep him in your prayers. Amen. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer this morning before we go to the Scripture. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, to be here this morning. We ask, dear God, that You'll be with us, God, in our midst, dear God. May You anoint us, Father. May You, Lord, speak the word of life to us. Break the bread of life, dear God, that we may eat of it this morning. We pray for Your purpose to be served and Your divine glory to be displayed. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. I want to read from 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to actually cover several verses here, but I'm only going to read verse 15 to open. And what I want to speak on, it's a series I've had on my heart. I've been studying on it since December. It's rightly dividing the word of truth. But what I want to focus on today is the absolute necessity of rightly dividing the word. And so, because this is the thing, right division is essential for salvation, truth, and spiritual life. So let's read now from, as Paul is speaking to Timothy here, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Amen. You may be seated. Now, this is the thing. It doesn't say just rightly dividing the word. This is the word of truth. The word of truth. So, people can go to the Bible and yet not have truth. They can go to the Scriptures, and then you got people in messages. They can go to quotes of Brother Branham, and they still don't have truth. Truth, friends, is not a word. It's not a letter. It's not a speech. Truth is a person. "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Listen, words don't set you free unless those words are coming from the person of truth. Then those words have life. Amen. So the difference, what I want to look here is this is talking rightly dividing the word of truth. So let's first look. There's a difference between truth and error. And the difference between them is not sincerity. It's not intelligence. And it's not good intentions. It is whether the word has been rightly divided. Listen, this is a commandment that Paul is giving. This is not optional. It is a commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's not just this is kind of my advice to you. No, Paul is actually giving a commandment to Timothy, and through Timothy to all the ministry that would ever come in the coming ages. A command to rightly divide the word of truth. Now, when we look at the word divide, you know, in the English language, we'll take one word and we'll use it to mean so many different things. We don't even, sometimes, we have some of them that sound the same, but they're spelled differently. But we got some, we just use the same word, same spelling, everything, and just, it depends on how it's used in a sentence, what it means. And like I've said in other messages I preach, you got to realize that our King James version of the Bible, that it was, listen, God bless, God actually inspired King James to actually to do this, because prior to that, you know, the Bible was wrote in language that common people couldn't understand. But when they wrote it into the King's English of that day, then they used the words of English from that time era. And so, you know, then when you bring it down into our day, then, like, for instance, this word divide can be misunderstood. If I were to ask most of the children that are in grade school here today, you know, what does divide mean? And they're going to talk to you about what they've learned in school in mathematics, what divide means to do. And you know, so most people, they think a divide, then they think it either means to separate or split apart. But the Greek word that Paul uses is which means not to break apart, but to cut straight. It's used of road builders in cutting a straight road. It's used of carpenters with cutting straight boards. It's used of farmers in plowing straight furrows. Paul was saying not to separate the word, but to handle it correctly. Lay it out properly, the word of truth. Lay it out straight so that the truth remains aligned with truth. He was speaking here of accuracy, being accurate, the accuracy. If you look at about road builders, okay? So you take a road builder. If they're cutting a straight road through terrain, he doesn't break the road apart into sections and all that. He makes it straight so that travelers may not be led astray. Now, this illustration I'm giving you of a road builder, I'm taking it from the Word, and I'll show you in a few moments. Rightly dividing the word of truth, that doesn't mean breaking it apart. It means making a straight path through so that people can arrive at truth. Now, illustration of a carpenter, and I'm sure that Brother Byron back here, he can really relate to this one. You know, if a carpenter cuts straight, the pieces fit perfectly together. But if he cuts it crooked, then when he goes to put it together, it's going to be misaligned. It isn't going to meet. It ain't going to dovetail, you know. And, you know, when you go in to buy a new house, and so a lot of these carpenters, you know, that are doing the finishing work and everything, they cover up a lot of their things, you know, studs and things that ain't cut straight, drywall covers it, you know. Trim and things that aren't cut with the 45 and made to match wide, they got the little putty stuff they can put in there and cover that up, and with a little bit of paint, you don't know it. But that is not acceptable to God. It's got to be cut perfect to where it fits in there perfectly. And that's actually, you can find that according to the Word of God, how that it must dovetail when you're building a building. The word to cut straight, what it means is every scripture in this illustration I'm giving you, every scripture must fit perfectly with every other scripture. If you got your scriptures put together and there's another scripture over here and you say, I don't know how that, it seems like it's contradicting. If you've got it contradicting, then you're the one that is at fault, not God. His word does not contradict. If his word is rightly divided, everything dovetails and fits perfectly together. One word or one scripture actually enlightens and explains and makes you be able to, when you put them together, you actually get to see the big picture. Hallelujah. A farmer. Now, when a farmer plows straight rows, if he drifts ever so slightly, the entire field becomes misaligned. You know, now, you know, maybe back in the days when they were plowing, like they show them up here with the oxen and all that. Maybe back in that day, you know, they could kind of get by. But I'll tell you something today. I don't know if you've ever seen some of these play. If you go down through Alabama, you will actually see some of these big, they're like tractors. And they set about, you know, that high. They got these big wheels, four wheels on every side, all four of them all real big. They sit way up, and they've got these arms that come out, and they spray. Those things need to be able to go over top of crop that has already growed up. And if those rows ain't straight, they're going to be running over some of their crop. So it's important that the furrows be plowed straight when they're laid. And you know, the Word of God, preaching the Word of God, is actually likened many times to plowing a furrow. And so it has to be straight. If you drift just a little bit, then the whole thing's going to be thrown off and misaligned. Now, Brother Branham, and I'll go more into this in a few moments, but Brother Branham, he makes a couple of statements concerning this when he speaks about shooting a rifle. And he says, you know, you shoot a gun, if you don't hit the target, find where it went off at. You got to come all the way back there and start again, he said at the beginning. Another place says the only thing you have to do is give the bullet a little twist this way, and it'll miss the target completely. So God requires his word to be handled correctly. Not every teaching that you would hear by some man that is truth simply because he's using scripture. Because truth must be placed correctly with truth. The word must be rightly divided. You can quote scriptures and quote them wrong. And then when you do that, and Brother Branham says three things we must not do. We must not misinterpret the word. We must not misrepresent the word. And we must not mislocate the word. You know, he says you can't take the word that's spoken to Noah about building an ark to escape the flood and go over to Moses and say, now, Moses, what you need to do to get the children of Israel out of Egypt is you need to build an ark like Noah did. Nope, that's not the word of the Lord, the instruction for his day. Hallelujah. You got to rightly divide the word. Now, Brother Branham uses this example in keeping his word. He says, you may take one scripture and fix it around, and I can say in the scripture, Judas hung himself, you do likewise. But that wouldn't be rightly dividing the scripture, see? That would be pertaining to Judas and not to you. He says again in the sixth seal, now remember, I've always taught that in the mouths of two or three witnesses, let every word be established and the scripture. Just like you can't take one scripture and prove nothing lest there's something else goes with it, see? See, I can take one scripture and say Judas went and hung himself. Take another one and say you go do the same. But you see, it wouldn't blend in with the rest of it. Correctly handling, listen, rightly dividing the word, it determines whether you arrive at truth or whether you arrive at error. And so handling, correct handling, the word that Paul used there, orthomaheo, it means to cut straight. So the thing is, this is the thing, incorrect handling. Let's take a look at if it's handled incorrectly. Because Paul covers that in the scripture. Peter actually gives warning, and Peter says, those who rest with the scriptures, they wrestle with the scriptures to their own destruction, meaning to twist or distort or misapply those scriptures. So we realize then there's two ways. There is to cut straight, according to the word that Paul's using here, rightly divide means to cut straight or cut crooked. If you cut straight, it leads to truth. You cut crooked, it leads to error. Rightly dividing the word means to cut a straight path through the scriptures so that truth remains aligned with truth. Now, the Hebrew phrase used here in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not into thy own understanding. Listen to what the Word of God is actually telling. Because this whole thing, how do people make a crooked path? Preachers. How they misinterpret the Word. Because they mix it with their own ideas and reasoning. And this is the whole thing. You cannot take the Word of God and pass it through the gate of reasoning of man's spirit. Because Satan also has access to that gate of the spirit. Reasoning. And so when you apply it through reasoning, first of all, you disobeyed this scripture. The trust in the Lord and all with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understandings. Now listen, when he goes on, he says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And that phrase there, direct thy paths, it literally means make thy path straight. He shall make thy path straight. Amen. So the Hebrew word there is actually yeshar, meaning to make straight, to make right, to make smooth, to make correct. Listen. This is conceptually identical to the Greek word, that this Hebrew word that is used here in Proverbs, it's conceptually identical to the Greek word that Paul used that I told you about, which means God makes straight paths. And this translates into ministers must handle his word in straight paths. Now Isaiah 40:3 says, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. This scripture is actually speaking, foretelling, and prophesying of the coming of John the Baptist. Amen? And so when John the Baptist came, he didn't change the message. He made the path straight so that people could find the Lord. That was actually his commission. Amen? So in Hebrews 12:13 it says, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. So the lame cannot get healed. This is an analogy that Paul is using here in Hebrews. He's not speaking just literally just of people who are physically lame, but he's talking in a spiritual sense here, that if you don't have straight paths, then people get off. They drift from the truth, and drifting from the truth has an adverse effect on their spiritual life. Straight paths prevent people from being led astray. Crooked paths cause people to fall. This is exactly the danger Paul warned Timothy of. Proverbs 4:25-27 said, let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the paths of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. This scripture is speaking exactly about staying on the straight paths of God, of his word. Luke says it this way in the 3rd chapter. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. This is speaking of, here it's introducing John the Baptist and his ministry. And as is said in Isaiah prophesying of him, that he would do make the path straight for righteousness, prepare a way. Here again is Luke referring to that very scripture in Isaiah. The word Isaiah in the Greek, it actually is Isaiah. But he's saying, as is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled. Every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall be made straight. And the rough ways shall be made smooth. Make straight the way of the Lord. It actually says in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 23. The Greek word here is related conceptually to orthos, as I said, which means straight, correct, or aligned. Here in 2 Timothy, the text that we read in 2 and 15, Paul's saying, make straight the path through the word. That's exactly what he's saying. Paul's saying, do not bend it. Do not twist it. Do not misalign it. Lay it straight so the people arrive straight, safely at the truth. Because when the path is straight, people arrive at truth. But when the path is crooked, people are led into error. Now, there is a danger of not dividing the word of God rightly. A wrong division, the danger of it, because, and Paul speaks of this, why? Because wherever there is a straight path, there is always a crooked path. And so Paul continues this in this next verse, the 16th verse of 2 Timothy 2, and says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. In other words, Timothy, do not listen to the teachings that are empty, teachings that are not aligned with the word. Don't listen to teachings that may sound intelligent, may sound reasonable, or may even sound persuasive, but are not cut straight according to the truth. And when Paul uses the most serious warning actually in all of scriptures in verse 17, when he says, and their word will eat as doth a canker. The word canker there means gangrene, a corruption that begins small but spreads. Corruption, and it destroys everything it touches. And you know, it's so subtle when it comes in, it's not usually noticed. But then it begins, by the time it gets noticed, it's too late. The whole foot will become black. And then you'll have streaks going up your leg, you know. And by that time, it's gone. It has to be cut off. And depending on how far them streaks have went, sometimes a person can lose the majority of their leg. But it starts off real small. Sometimes just a spot. That's why they check the feet of diabetics all the time, because they start to lose feeling and something will happen and they don't know it happened because they start to lose nerve sensitivity first in their feet. The word canker, gangrene. Listen, Paul is teaching something here very vital. Paul is saying error does not begin as something obvious. It begins as something subtle. A slight misalignment, a small deviation from the straight path. And many times, it actually looks good. The small misalignment, the small deviation, it looks good to the eyes. It looks pleasant and desire to make one wise. When it's not correct, what Paul is teaching here, when it's not correct, it spreads. That's why I use this word canker or gangrene. When it's not correct, it spreads like that. And eventually, it overthrows the faith of them that follow. Show that full-blown one, gangrene picture. This is, it overthrows, by the time it overthrows the faith of those who follow it. Yeah. Amen. So that's why rightly dividing the word is not merely important. It is essential. Because the straight handling of the word, friends, it produces life. But the crooked handling of the word, it produces spiritual death. What is spiritual death? Eternally separated from God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. People can be eternally separated from God and not even know it. if a person gets their leg cut off, sometimes the foot that's already gone, they can feel it itching. And it ain't there. It's called a phantom feeling. It's no longer there. Spiritually dead. And Paul was warning Timothy about this. And through Timothy, he was warning the church that the future of all believers depends on whether the word is handled straight or handled crooked. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 through 14. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Song of Solomon 2:15, a little portion of that speaks about the little foxes that spoil the vine. Now, Solomon writes about this, and he specifies little foxes spoiling the vine. He don't say nothing. He does talk about there being really good grapes on the vine in that verse. But he doesn't speak anything about those foxes actually getting the grapes. The reason is, when you study this out, the foxes, the little ones, they can't reach the grapes. So instead what they do is they gnaw at the base of the vine. Therefore the little foxes, the little things, the subtle things, the things that don't look so obvious, the things that look insignificant, do the greatest damage. Now, accuracy. I said Paul was speaking of accuracy. So I want to give you an illustration, to use an illustration that Brother Branham uses. Those of you that are like to shoot rifles and know about those things, Brother Branham talks about a rifle, and he says if you take a rifle and you aim it at the target, whether you're going to hit that target or not, it depends on how your sights are aligned. And he says because there is a rear sight, and then, of course, down here we'd call them iron sights. But there's a rear sight, and then there is the front sight. And so the rear sight gives you elevation. The front sight, it determines left or right. And combined together, they can determine left and right, an elevation. All right. So, when you align that front sight, now with the back sight, if the back sight, you get your elevation, then there's a notch in your back sight, and that front sight has to come and line right up into that notch, and then if it does, then you're shooting straight. And if it's aligned up right, then you're going to hit your target. If your elevation ain't set right, then you're either going to, your round is either going to fall, go too low before it gets to the target, or it'll shoot too high over the target. And then of course it also has to do with how much powder is in the bullet. Can it make the distance? And so then it's when you get into your different calibers, but I don't want to go down that lane because then I'm starting to get into my thing. But anyway, getting back to this, if the sights are aligned perfect, then the bullet's going to travel straight there and you're going to hit the bullseye every time. I don't want to go down the other. I keep wanting to say other things because I love shooting. But anyway, if the sight is off even slightly, then so slight that even the eye can't detect it, then the bullet may appear to travel straight at first. But the further it travels, the further it drifts. And by the time it reaches a target, it may miss it by an inch. It may miss it by a foot. It may miss it by yards. It may miss the target entirely. And the whole time the individual's back here and they're saying, I see that bullseye. But if it's not lined up right, if it's misaligned, if the accuracy is not right, if the person that's firing the weapon doesn't know how to actually shoot, you know, if you don't know how to breathe, then you're not going to be able to hit the broadside of a barn. You just give up trying to hunt deer with a rifle because you ain't going to hit them. And where you hit them, maybe you might gut shot them or something else. But you got to know how to breathe. You got to know how to steady it. You got to know when to, that you don't pull the trigger, that you squeeze the trigger. I mean, there's a lot that goes in to when you're shooting at a target or at a game, you know. And you can't get overexcited. No matter how good of a shot you are, if you get overexcited, you're going to miss that deer. I didn't know I was going to get them things in there, but I thought I didn't want to go off on a tangent. But it all fits in here. So what happens is if you're off just a little bit, ever so much that you don't even realize it at the beginning, that small error at the source, back here at the rifle, at the source, is a great error once it reaches out there to its destination. That's exactly what Paul was warning Timothy about. If the word is not rightly divided, if it's not cut straight, if it's slightly misaligned, it may sound right at first. It may appear close to the truth, but it will not arrive at the truth. This is actually where the scripture comes into play, that it would be so close that it would deceive the very elect if possible. Because it starts out looking like it's right, but one little misalignment and it misses the truth altogether. And a soul that follows that teaching, that soul will miss the mark. Not because they intend to miss it, but because the path was not straight. That is why rightly dividing the word is so important, because the word of God is guiding souls to eternal life. You ever heard the old song, I'm using my Bible for a roadmap? You ever heard that old song? Yeah. Well, I can tell you something, friends. If you can't read a map, you know, one of these things they talk about this new Gen Z generation, you know, and they said, look, if you want to, if they ever take over the world, we can get it back real easy. We'll just write out our plans in cursive, mail it, snail mail, to ourselves, you know, and we'll involve a stick shift car in there somewhere. And we'll use dial-up phones. Because the word is guiding souls to eternal life. If you can't read a map, that's what I got off on that. Because that's the other thing they said, and we'll plan it all out on a paper map. No phone GPSs. You hand a map to some of them out of this generation today, they couldn't find themselves. They go into a rest stop and it says you are here up on the map on the wall, and they still got no clue. If it's handled straight, the word, then it leads to Christ. If it's handled wrong, if it's handled crooked, then it leads away from Christ. You see, it's going to miss Christ. And that's why Paul warns that false teaching spreads like gangrene. Because error, once introduced, continues to spread and to destroy. But when the word is rightly divided, cut straight, it leads souls safely to the truth. Now, listen to this. Paul did not speak this as only a theory when he says their words do eat as a canker. Gangrene. But Paul, he named some men, Hymenaeus and Philetus, whose teachings had already misaligned the sights, and as a result, the faith of some had already been overthrown. He says this in the second part of 2 Timothy 17, and then on into verse 18, whose words do eat as a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrown the faith of some. Now we read that and we say, well, that would be obvious. You would think. But you know what? People today, there are obvious things that's preached. Obvious that they don't even look like they're close to the truth. And message people eat it up. One of the things is, because so many of them like to run after signs and demonstrations. Well, we preached about that already. 2 Timothy 2:19. This is the last verse here in this text to Timothy. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So this is a thing, friends. God knows who belongs to him. And I'm going to tell you this. If they get off on a wrong path, they go following some preacher jack, something that's going off on something, and it just sounds good, and somehow they just feel something with this person, you know, and all that, you know. But if it ain't the word, and they're God's elect, God will break that influence. He'll break that fellowship. And friends, I'll tell you what, he ain't always nice about how he does it. People's always thinking about, oh, now we just got to be careful. Don't offend nobody else. Don't be rude. Take that statement, and now in your mind, picture Jesus going into the temple and seeing that they had turned it into a den of thieves. He got real rude that day, according to some people's way of thinking. He went off over there to the side and just looking, and I could just see him sitting there just seething while he looked at what they had done with the house of God. They were using it to sell and make money off of the necessity that these believers had to have a sacrifice. So they're like, got a way to have a good business here. And you know what we're going to do? We're just going to set right up in the house of God. We'll sell it to them and make it real convenient. And we can charge even more money to it, because we're going to put a convenience fee on it. And Jesus sitting there thinking about all that and just seething while he took time and plaited rope together. You think about that. He was plaiting this together. When he finally got, somebody passed by, what in the world was he doing? And then he just kept going. I don't know how long it took him, but when he got done, friends, he got real rude. He kicked over their tables, whipped them, and ran them out. And it wasn't enough. He ripped him with his words too. He wasn't even nice about that. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Now, what is the Greek word foundation here? It's themelios, which means established structure, immovable truth. Immovable truth. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Immovable truth. God's truth doesn't change. Ever. Only man's interpretation of it changes. Truth does not move. Men move away from the truth. That's why that men and take their theologies and God help us, many of these organizations that people are blinded by. You know, at one time they followed holiness. At one time they followed the word. But now they've drifted so far off, and they feel okay and all right. Why? Because they have been taught that particular part of the word is no longer relevant. We have come up. It's modern times now. That Paul said there about how women should dress and all these different things, it's no longer relevant today. They make the word of God of none effect. And we had a man come in this last day and indict this generation for it. I indict this generation for the second crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And they have crucified him afresh by making the word of God of none effect to the people. The root cause of false doctrine. The root cause. Let's identify the source. Human interpretation. That's the source. That's the root source of where false doctrine starts at, the root of it. When the ideas and opinions of men are used as a filter, it leads people away from the word of truth. Excuse me. It leads people away from the word of the truth. It's the filter of their own minds. It's the filter of their own ideas, their own... Look, friends, it is the filter of their own desires, how they would like it to be. Sometimes it's the filter of their fear, because them preachers themselves are looking for something that they can latch on to say, I got it. And they go to something that is actually a false absolute, a false security. And they lead people to false absolutes. They lead people to false securities. We covered one of those when we spoke about the token, about how people will take things that Brother Branham said and they give a false security to the people. They take it and it's no longer aligned with the word. And they give a false security to the people. Your family's going to be there. It don't matter if they do live like devils. If you love them, they'll be there. Proverbs 14 and 12. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. Romans 3 and 4. God forbid, yea, let God be true, but let every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. You know, we read earlier where it said, lean not to your own understanding. Listen to what God says here in Isaiah 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Brother Branham speaks about hybrid seeds. And how he brings this analogy about hybrid seeds. And it's actually in the midst of the spoken word is the original seed. And he goes to bring the analogy by talking about, you know, God created a horse. God created a donkey. But then man, through their own devices, took and they inbred the horse with the donkey. And they produced a mule. And when a mule is born, it is sterile. It cannot reproduce itself. It stops right there. So they have produced something that is now actually death and not life. There is no life there. It can't bring life. Life can't come out of it. It stopped right there. It looks good. It looks like it works harder than a horse. It's bigger than a donkey. It can outwork either one because of its size and because it's more of a beast of burden from being the part donkey. So he can outwork either one. Looks good. Mules. Look, they don't hitch up a team of donkeys to a plow. They don't hitch up a team of donkeys to a wagon or some big thing. No, they use mules. You know, they can hook up two mules to something and it can pull more than about four or six horses. Looks good. Sounds good. Looks reasonable. But it's death. It's the same thing with the high breeding of seeds. The Bible tells us, let every seed bring forth of its own kind. They have hybrid the seeds to make bigger crop, make bigger, juicier looking ears of corn. But you take the kernels from there and go try to plant them and get more corn. It's never going to come up the way it did the first time. Why? Because it doesn't have an abundance of life. The kernel that's on the ear that's produced by a hybrid seed, that kernel does not have the same amount of life in it as the kernel that they produced to go in the ground and bring forth the crop. You understand what I'm saying to you? So you take one of them and gets discarded, and you might get some kind of little old tiny stalk maybe that might grow up here and that. You don't never make nothing. Why? It can't. There's not enough life in it. It was hybrid. And Brother Branham's talking about that, and he says, that's what's happened. When men have took their ideas and their reasoning, and they have mixed it in with the truth of the Word of God, they take the message of the hour. They take the scriptures and they mix in their own theology, their own reasoning. And when they do, what they've produced for the people is a hybrid religion. And that hybrid word does not produce life. It produces death. His analogy there of the hybrid falls directly in line with what Paul's talking about, the danger of not rightly dividing the word of truth. Because when they don't rightly divide it, it's because they're bringing a wrong interpretation, misaligning the scriptures, mislocating the scriptures because of what? They're hybriding it. They're mixing it with their own ideas. And that produces death. Hybrid doctrine produces spiritual death. Listen to this. Now, Brother Graham says it's a message of oneness. Now, remember, the devil takes a whole lot of that word. Pretty near 99.9% of it. 99 hundredths and 99% of that hundredths. He makes it just exactly right, but then he'll jump off here. And that's the one that causes death right there. That breaks the chain right in the middle. Down you go. And he's referring to when the serpent came to Eve and said, hath God not said, thou shalt eat of all the trees of the garden? And Eve said, yes, except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For the day that we eat thereof, in that day we shall die. And the devil, through the voice, it was the voice of Satan, through the voice of the serpent, speaking to Eve and said, thou shalt not surely die. He just added 1%. He gave her 99.9% correct. But when you have 99.9% correct, that 1% of incorrect makes it 100% a lie. It leads 100% to death. Spiritual discernment. You know, I spoke about that here not long ago last month. I think it was last month or beginning of the month or at the end of January there. I spoke about discernment, having discernment. And my concern as a pastor that seeing sometimes the lack of discernment. Now, I'm not saying that to throw off on you. I'm saying it to say, hey, look, take a look at this. Take some inventory in your life and how you're looking at this. These things that you are streaming and listening to, they've got to line up 100% with the Word of God. Because if it's off 1%, say, what happens, Brother Jerry? I'm sitting here. You're my pastor. And you take in that 1% of error, and then you try to mix it with what's being preached here. Now, I'm not lifting myself up, but I can tell you this, friends. I don't say this with any sense of self-pride. I say it actually with a great sense of responsibility. I would never dare mix the truth of God's word with 1% of my own idea. If I mix it with 1% of my own idea, I condemn every one of you for wearing flip-flops to church. But that's my idea. You never hear me preach that. This is probably the first time you've ever heard me say it. Why? That's just me. It ain't in the word. It's just me. It ain't in nobody else. It don't come from God. That's just me. That's just like some people won't go eat in a restaurant if they know they serve alcohol in there. That's just them. But they'll make a doctrine out of it. They'll make a doctrine out of a woman shouldn't wear a skirt with a zipper in the front because that's pertaining to a man. Bunch of hogwash. That's their own ideal. That's their 1% of error. And I'll tell you this, that 1% of error that was preached up in Ohio years ago by a man, that man don't even follow this truth anymore. He not only walked away, but he spoke against the end time truth. But it started with 1% somewhere. And then added another percent, and then added another percent until I don't believe that he got caught up in the cloud. I don't believe that that thing with the bridge did happen. Whew. And that thing has spread around this message like a canker. It may not have come directly from that man going directly to all these other men, but there has been preachers dropping out of this end time truth like flies and taking a bunch of people with them. But there must be. Come a falling away. So even that scripture. Discernment, it's important. Not only is it important, actually, discernment, friends, God requires it of you. It is not an option for you whether you rightly discern or not. By the Spirit. It's actually a commandment of God. It's essential. You must be able to discern the Spirit. How do you discern it? It comes from the Spirit, not from intellect. John 16:13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is coming, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Let me just qualify something from this scripture. This scripture ain't talking about when you get born again. Jesus was standing there on the face of the earth when He spoke this scripture. And He's telling you, I'm not going to lead you comfortless, but I will send the Spirit of truth unto you. I will send the Comforter. I will come again unto you. And He's speaking about the coming of Him in the Spirit to live and dwell in the people. But He's not speaking here of this, that when you get born again, it'll guide you into all truth. Listen, the Spirit had come when Jesus left, and the Spirit came here to come down and guide His children to a place where they could get born again. Because why? It is a word birth, not a sensation birth. Not a church birth. Not a man-made birth. It is a word birth. And there's only one way you can be birthed by the word. It's got to be the word. And it's got to be rightly divided, the truth. If it's not rightly divided, you're never going to get a word birth. That's why it is so important that the ministry you're listening to, the pastors that people have, that they're born again. Because they can't lead the people through a life they don't even know nothing about themselves. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, He shall speak, and He shall show you things to come. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And what is this scripture saying? Let's just break it down to common wording here. The natural man, us, men and women, we cannot receive things of the Spirit of God through our conceptions and ideals and thoughts, our reasoning, because his ways are foolish unto us. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. So unless a man's born again, that remember when Jesus said, except a man be born again, he can no wise, what does it say? See the kingdom of God. Understand. He can't even understand the kingdom of God. He cannot even understand the word of God unless he is born again himself. And if he ain't born again, then he can't understand it. How in the world can he lead you on a straight path to get born again? It's a path of life. Go listen to that message. Hebrews 5 and 14 said, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. How do we discern? It's by the Spirit. Now, I'm not talking about an emotion or a feeling you got. Oh, well, I just got a feeling that person's off. That ain't what I'm talking about. That's just you. That's your spirit. Ain't no way you discern nothing that way. People get around people out here in the world and they're thinking, well, I think they think this, I think they think that themselves. That's just all you, man. That ain't God. God ain't speaking to you. God ain't telling you nothing. Spirit of God in you ain't telling you nothing about that individual. Well, I think this rich person just thinks much. That's just your opinion. Sometimes your opinion comes from the fact that you wish you had it. You wish you had what they got. It ain't them feeling like they're uppity. It's you feeling like you're low because you ain't got what you would like to have, which you're jealous and actually lusting after what they got. That's why it said the lust of money is the root of all evil. Not the money, the lust of it. Whew. Penny heirs have lust. You've got to be rich. You don't even got to have it. Discerning the body of the Lord. Chautauqua, Ohio, Brother Graham says, that's how we discern it, discern to see if our discernment is right. The best witness that we have that we got the Holy Ghost is when our spirit bears record with the word. For the Holy Spirit will say amen to every word he wrote. Sirs, we would see Jesus, he says, it's something that you believe that God put in there. It's the Holy Spirit. And God's Holy Spirit will say amen to every word that's in the Bible, for it wrote the Bible. He says again, in discerning the body of the Lord, you tell me that you've been born again, and you do not believe that divine healing is a promise of God, and you do not believe that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for people today, then I'll have to say your birth was of the wrong spirit. Well, this one we look at today, message people, and we think, well, man, that's obvious. We believe. We're good to go, buddy. We believe in divine healing. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But what do you believe about divine healing? What do you believe about the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Do you believe the truth that's been rightly divided about it, or do you believe yours or some other man's ideal of it, their misinterpretation of it? I believe in divine healing. Any of y'all listen to, watch those services that I spoke over in Washington about teaching about mental illnesses, and I was speaking about divine healing. There was people there believing divine healing, but they didn't believe it was a mental illness. They thought that somebody was possessed with a devil. So they were never going to arrive at the truth, were they? They were never going to be able to help anybody else arrive at the truth. I'm not talking about the people in Washington. I'm talking about, man, they're all over. I go and I talk to people that suffer from this, that come to hear these meetings or later communicate with me. And the one thing that I keep getting from everybody is people telling them they didn't have the Holy Ghost. Some preachers tell him, problem is you just need to get born again. You need the Holy Ghost. That's what your problem is. Just don't think that way. Whew. Takes me back to my text. Study to show thyself to prove a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. They need to take that to heart. No wonder I stood there under the inspiration of God and said, shame on him for not taking and studying these things out to help poor suffering humanity, because that is actually a commission that we've been given in this end time, to help poor suffering humanity. Lift their life, lift their load, help them to have a little bit happier life here. Not just get them out of here to the other side. Yeah, that's ultimately. But look, to make their life a little easier, a little happier day to day here. And friends, here, and I'm not saying these brothers, these people, everyone's that didn't have understanding, mentalists, that means they're not born again. That's not what I'm saying. But this is the thing. Once a person is presented with the truth, if they walk on into that truth, it shows what spirit's in them. They can't walk in the truth that hadn't been presented to them yet. So they can be born again just... they hadn't received that enlightenment. But I can tell you this, anyone with the Holy Ghost, a new birth in them, they delight in the enlightenment of God's word. Yes, amen. Brother Branham goes on to say, now intellectual knowledge will pull you away from it, but the Holy Spirit will say amen to his own word. Listen. Right division is spiritual, not intellectual. I've had men come and talk about, brother, hey, look, listen to this. I was thinking, listen, I got this. Okay. I'm going to tell you what. You lean to your own understanding. You lean to, you know, look, sometimes men can actually go off on a tangent and think they're inspired by God, and it really doesn't have anything to do with that God at all. It's really just them. It's their, not just their own ideas, but you realize we're all different made up people. All right? And let me just real quickly use another. We don't all actually, maybe, if I asked everybody in here, what is your, if you had to pick one food that was your most favorite food because it was the last thing you were going to get to eat, I'd probably find a whole lot of different things each one of y'all would be saying. So it ain't based on what our ideals are, our opinions, and sometimes people can be swayed a certain way. Let me say it this way so I can really get my point across. We all, even though we're message believers, we all have our own political ideas. Can I say that without getting into politics? We all got our own political views and views of something. If I talked about immigration this morning, probably each and every one of y'all have a view on it. What it is, what it's not. Who is an immigrant and who's not an immigrant. Some people have a view that it just everybody's an immigrant. Of course, that just gave away mine, right? So sometimes preachers will have views like that. And they'll take those views that are actually just their own personal views, and they'll mix it. And take the word of God and take things that the prophet said and visions that he talked about, and they'll try to puzzle piece this stuff together and come up with this. What's going on right now is the fulfillment of this vision or scripture or whatever. I don't want to go off on a tangent. I've done preached so much on that over the last, and I even went over that in, when I preached on an adulterous and evil and adulterous generation seeking after a sign. All right, here's a final warning. 2 Timothy chapter 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Now, what's fables? It means fiction, made up stories that can be very entertaining. Sometimes those made up fables can have a very good moral statement that it's trying to make, but they're fiction. They're not real. And if they're not real, then they're not truth. What does it mean, heaped in themselves teachers having itching ears? The itching ears is talking about there will come a time when they, it's talking about the they there at the beginning. They are the ones that have itching ears. And because they have itching ears, they won't endure sound doctrine. What does itching ears mean? They want to be told what they want to hear. You understand what I'm saying? They're going to rally up to preachers that preach what they would actually like to hear preached. They want preachers to give them some security where they can go on the way they are. Some kind of security where the ideas and things that they have formulated that means whether they're all right and they're born again and got all that preacher will preach things that will actually support their ideal and theory of it. Having itching ears, they'll turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Brother Bram says, and God keeps his word, says, then they got them a false prophet. When people won't receive the truth, though it be in the minority, they'll raise them up a false prophet. The Bible said in the last days, false prophets, the people would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears and would turn away from the truth unto fables. People will choose teachers. They will choose preachers. They will choose pastors. They will choose to stream and listen and follow preachers that align with their desires, with their ideas, and not necessarily align with the truth. The last days, listen to what Paul's saying here, in the last days, it is not characterized as having a lack of religion. As a matter of fact, these last days is more religious than any other day and age. But it's characterized by being a lack of rightly divided truth. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word must be handled correctly. The truth cannot be mixed with anybody's reasoning or ideas or opinions. Discernment of the Spirit is essential. You know, in the book of John, I think it's 1 John, it tells us how to discern whether the Spirit be of God or not. Discernment is essential. Right division determines spiritual life or spiritual death. Eternal life depends on correctly understanding the word of truth. The greatest danger to the church, listen to this statement I'm about to make to you. The greatest danger to the church is not actually persecution from the outside. The greatest danger to us, the believers, is the misinterpretation of the word from within our own ranks. Brother Ram says this in the message of the voice of God in the last days. The musicians can come. And today, one reason that the church is in the condition that it's in, listen to this, is because there are so many voices, so many other voices to attract the church from the voice of God, till it's very doubtful that many would hear the voice of God, though it spoke right in their midst. The voice of God spoke right in their midst. maybe an evangelist minister or something comes through a church, and that church, without even knowing it, they are subtly getting into a condition of a gangrene, spiritual gangrene, because they're being taught wrong, because the word's not being rightly divided to them. And then maybe they hear the correct, rightly divided word of truth preached. And I've had it happen when I've went and preached places, friends. Back when I was a young preacher, before I ever come to pastor. And a pastor would get up right after I got done preaching, because he did not agree with something I said, because it did not align with his idea and his security he had for himself of having the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he would get up, and what it took me an hour to preach, he tore down in 2 to 3 minutes to his people. That church doesn't even exist any longer. The people do, many of those people that were there, friends, they actually became shipwrecked spiritually. They lost their way. Why? Because the path wasn't laid straight. Minister will come in and God will send him, and he'll preach something rightly divided by the word of truth. And if it doesn't align with the theory that the local ministry has, their ideal of it, the path that they're cutting, then they will get up and they will completely make what was preached to their people of none effect. And the people can be sitting there. And because they can't discern that the one was the voice of God and this other is actually not the voice of God, they stay deceived. Hallelujah. Look, it's a time and day and age we're living in. I wasn't preaching this message to lift myself up or project myself in any way as being anything or any authority, or as that I'm the only one that's got truth. That's not, I'm not. I can tell you, I'm getting ready to, my second part to this, I'll be sharing with you some things that I've studied and saw what Brother Branham has said. It's very evident. And then I've had fellowship with a lot of other pastors that are seeing a danger of something that's being spread through ministry that's traveling around. I was asked a question. I was out for a walk with a pastor. We're just out, just two of us were out there walking. And he asked me a question. What do you think about this and this and this that's being preached by so-and-so? I said, well, it's wrong. It's false. And it's being preached all over the place. And in youth camps and everywhere. And it's a misrepresentation. It's the word not rightly divided. Like I said, I've been studying on this series since back in December. When I was out in Washington, I felt the nudge of the Lord. When you get back, you got to start this series. Because it's of dire need and importance. Not that I'm afraid for y'all here. However, I trust that you'll take this warning. Take it to heart. Take it to heart when your friends, look, I could get up here and call off names the way that Paul did, Hymenaeus and Philetus. But because we're, live on the internet and everything else, I don't want nobody legally coming and making me liable for anything. So instead, what I do is I point out the wrong, the error. I point out the spirit of the thing. And never actually name them in. And you might think, well, Brother Jerry, that's just your opinion. What I am inviting you to do today is take and discern the Spirit. I'm telling you to take the Word of God and the Spirit of God and discern the Spirit. Friends, listen. We got people sometimes that have come in this church and parked themselves on pews. And they want to park themselves on a pew like as if they never done nothing wrong. They don't need to repent of nothing. And some of them have done great damage and said horrible things about individuals in this church. And they think they can just come back in here and park and be okay with God. You know why they do that? They don't want to be held accountable. They don't want to reap what they've sowed. They don't want to take responsibility for what they've done. But I can tell you this. I don't accept the excuse, well, I was drunk when I said it. I don't accept that. I was high when I said it. I don't accept that. You still got to make it right. Well, I was just mad. Well, you still got to make it right. Now you got more than one thing to make right. But that ain't the thing that I wanted to point out as I close on this. What I want to point out is how people here react toward those individuals. They're all about, well, we got to make them feel welcome. Well, we got to show love. Friends, I'm going to tell you what, a lot of y'all need to find out what love really is. Love ain't patting somebody on the back saying, I'm glad you're here. Keep on the road to hell that you're on because I'm not going to tell you any different. That's not love. Love ain't making somebody feel welcome when they need to repent. Don't nobody here sitting here take offense and start saying, Brother Jerry's preaching on me about how I need to repent and all that. I believe the folks, you sitting here this morning, you've got to that place already with God. You've made a step. Or you're in the process of making the step. And I could name the individual I'm referring to that y'all patted on the back and went out to eat dinner with. Told him how glad. I'm glad you're here today, brother. The devil's sitting there, and now he's sitting in another church. You say, how do you know? Because if he ever got born again, and that's what he'd need to do, he'd go make the things right. If the Spirit of God was in him, he'd have to say amen to the Word. He'd have to repent. He'd have to make the things right. He couldn't just shove them under a rug and go to some church that nobody knows him and act like, glory to God, let me lay hands on somebody. Lord have mercy on them people he's laying hands on. I pray the devil in him don't pass to them. A devil laying hands on people. My goodness, Brother Jerry, that is rightly discerning the Spirit. And that is what I'm trying to project to you. You say, is that love? Look, it's love if he'll hear it because he'll leave his path to hell, the crooked path he's on, and get on the straight path that leads to heaven. You're never going to see me patting somebody on the back and saying, have a good time on your way to hell. You say, that's just how you, that's how God looks at it. People enable people to stay that way. You need to tell them the truth. Because listen, friends, your filial love ain't never going to set them free. Your lovey-dovey ways and your misunderstanding of God's love ain't ever going to set them free. It ain't ever going to set your family free. You need to really get in touch with the love of God in your heart and realize the path that they're on. And let them know, hey, look, I don't care what your granddad said. Your granddad didn't even have what he told you you have. You need to get it or you're going to be lost. Not going to be. You're lost right now. You ain't going to be saved unless you get in there and get it. It ain't about your knowledge or whether I love you or not. You must be born again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, Lord, I ask God that the word that's being preached today, that to show God how essential this is, that the word is rightly divided. Lord, it's not us bringing an interpretation. Lord, it's a revelation, not a theory, not something that has been put and pieced together through man's mind. But a revelation is a supernatural thing. Lord, your sheep, they receive revelation of the word as it's preached. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word. And faith is a revelation. Revelation cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word. It is a supernatural thing. It isn't just the words that a man says, but if that word is rightly divided, if it in true is the voice of God through that man, then it is the words of life. And it brings life to the hearer that believes it and accepts it and becomes one with it. Lord, many years ago, I stood here, and in a different time and situation, I quoted something that your prophet said. He said, when there's a born-again man, an ordained man of God standing in a pulpit, and God's word is coming down straight from God through that mouth and a revelation of God out to the people, then at that time, he says, that pulpit is the closest place to heaven on earth. When the revealed word is being preached across that pulpit, it's the closest place to heaven on earth. And Lord, I quoted that many years ago, and then I followed it up with this. Suppose that the preacher standing in the pulpit is preaching false. Suppose he's not rightly dividing the word. Then would not that pulpit, instead of being the closest place to heaven on earth, be the closest place to hell on earth? Lord, it's essential to rightly divide the word. Lord, we see that this morning. It's essential, Lord, to discern the Spirit. How would we know, dear God? We're listening to men. We need to know. We need to be able to discern the Spirit. And the only way to discern the Spirit is by coming back to this, Lord. Discerning. And the if the word's being rightly divided, then we can't do that. Unless we actually have the Spirit of truth living in us. Be born again. And as your prophet said, if the Spirit that we have, if it's agreeing with the misalignments and the misinterpretations, if it's disagreeing with the word rightly divided, then your prophet said, then we were born of the wrong spirit. Lord, we need. It's very important and essential for us to rightly divide and to discern. We ask your blessings in Jesus' name. Next Sunday, I want to bring a furtherance of this topic and about discerning the Spirit and about looking at a subject that right now is being so greatly misrepresented. It's being preached. And as I said, I fellowship with different brothers. I fellowship with brothers over in Arkansas, brothers out in Washington. I've fellowshiped on the phone with other brothers in that. And here I am, Arkansas, Washington, Ohio, different areas. And I'm all hearing them saying the same thing. You get online. I'll tell you this. I don't do a lot of streaming. I'm not against it. I feel like I ain't really got the time. I'll stream certain ones or certain things, especially if somebody sends me something, you know. But I'm not like a regularly, every Wednesday I got to stream Brother Donnie, you know. I love Brother Donnie. I know not everybody respects him the way I do, but I do respect him. You know. But you hear things from what he's preaching. Brother Darrell Ward. Do you know what we were all preaching back in December? Every one of us studied the same message. Why it had to be shepherd. And every one of us was saying the same thing. I didn't know they were saying it because I hadn't streamed them. Somebody else streamed them and told me. They were saying, how have we missed this in this particular sermon all these years? That sermon is so packed with things. And there's something that all of us are starting to see. A grave, wrong interpretation and wrong dividing of what the Holy Ghost is and what the evidence of it is. And it's spreading like a canker. Because they're not rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. So just keep me in your prayers. God bless you.